This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
The Prospect Review Podcast is your source for the latest news and information on the 2014 NFL Draft.
We're the 29th pick. The New England Patriots like.
Now here to preview the prospects, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
That's right, it's that time of year again. Time to start thinking about the prospects for the May 8th draft as we are about a month away. And it's another season of Patriots.com prospect reviews, as Paul Perillo likes to say, where we preview the various players that will be available at each and every position in the selection process. And we're going to kick things off with a position that normally we just sort of ho-hum, blah, blah, you know, they might take a backup, blah, blah. The quarterback position. And this year, a bit more excitement around that position, given the fact that within the last couple weeks, the Patriots have either worked out top prospects such as Blake Bortles and Zach Mettenberger, or have actually hosted prospects at the position, guys who could very well go in the top five picks, like Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, and Teddy Bridgewater, two guys who at various points have been considered potential number one overall picks, and the Patriots chose to use two of their 30 pre-draft visits on those two guys, actually on the same day last week here at Gillette Stadium. So, Paul Perillo, I will open it up first before we start to delve into breaking down the guys. How big a need is the quarterback position? And is there a chance that New England, with, as the commissioner just said,
with the 29th pick,
takes a quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge need, and I actually don't think that the Patriots will take one, very early. I think there's always a chance in every draft, and I think this is true probably for 28 of the 32 teams of taking a quarterback at some point in the draft. I think it's good business to stockpile and try to develop, but this, what you just talked about in that open there, is not the same thing as what the Patriots have typically done. You know, looking for a Cliff Kingsbury or a Rohan Davey or a Kevin O'Connell. Matt Castle, go on down the line. Even Zach Robinson, a guy who never really gets thrown into those quarterback things.
Covered kicks.
This is one where they certainly would appear to be exploring the possibility of finding the next guy. And I don't think that's a huge need right now. I don't.
As is so often the case, the quarterbacks seem to once again hold the keys to the first round and sort of how this draft could unfold. Our friend Billy O'Brien with the Houston Texans has the number one overall pick. Matt Schaub was jettisoned out of town, so plenty of talk out of Houston that they could take a quarterback with that number one selection. John McCain, the great football writer in Houston, has basically guaranteed they are taking a quarterback,
yeah,
despite the fact that for more than a year, Jadeveon Clowney has been considered by many to be the best prospect, a generational-type talent as a pass rusher defensive end. But assuming the Texans do take a quarterback or don't take a quarterback.
Or assuming that you knew the word that you were going to say after assuming.
In your opinion, the best, fill in this sentence, the best quarterback in this draft is?
It's a tough one for me. I'm going to go with Blake Bortles.
You're not allowed to say, when I say fill in this sentence, you can't start with it's a tough one to me. I gave you a little line underlined.
You didn't say, okay, only have you. You didn't say one word.
You're not very good at those games.
You said fill in the sentence, so I filled
in the sentence.
I say four
words, you say mayo. I say fill in the blank, and you say...
Blake Bortles, to me, is the best quarterback in this draft.
Florida's own.
But I think there is a lot of concern around that, and for that reason, I think the safer...
You're out.
...guy would be Mettenberger. I think Zach Mettenberger has all of the tools to be a good pro quarterback. I think Bortles has a higher upside.
I agree. I like both those, and you and I both sway a little bit towards the traditional pocket passers, big guys. Both of those guys are in that 6'5" range and are those pocket-type passers. Teddy Bridgewater, who was here, 6'2", 214, a little bit frail, undersized for the position, out of Louisville, I'm not in love with as a franchise quarterback. Johnny Manziel, obviously 6', 207, has a unique playing style, as anyone who has seen him play is well aware. Can run, can throw, can keep plays alive, can dance, can make people miss. A lot of people that are in the Manziel camp get defensive and say he improved in his pocket passing last year, stayed in the pocket more, and can certainly evolve into an NFL passer. Are you of the belief that Johnny Manziel's style, that he brings to the field is something that can work as is, or is he going to have to evolve as a quarterback in the NFL?
I think that he needs to change a little bit. But I do think in the pro Manziel camp, the stats back that up. I mean, his rushing numbers, his attempts, his yardage went dramatically down, which tells me that he did a better job of, you know, sticking around a little bit. Here's where I do think that he still needs to, and listen, I think he can do it. I think he's a supremely gifted kid. I think he has a lot of ability. I think he needs to even further change his ways in terms of even how he scrambles around sometimes on passes that he throws. I saw a little of the John Gruden stuff with him last night. I don't know if you caught any of this, but you know the famous play that he made against Alabama where he ran around, got bumped into, lost the ball, picked it up, found Ryan Swope all by himself. And then they show the play. What should you have done? Oh, the check down. And they show it right here. The running back is all by himself. He should have never had to, pump the football and look at, never should have bumped into anybody. Never. The read was there. And that's what I don't know about him. Does he read the defense as well as he's going to need to do this? And can he play just quarterback? Can he play conventional football? But I think he has a lot of ability.
He certainly has a lot of athletic ability. The question is, does that translate to an actual NFL franchise type quarterback? You know, obviously there are all the questions about his lifestyle and his celebrity and off-field issues. I do think it's funny. I know he's a quarterback and he's a Heisman winner and that changes things, but it's funny that I think he's actually the third best prospect on his own team. I think Jake Matthews is going to be a legit NFL starting left tackle, and I think Mike Evans, his receiver, his playmaker, may be the best wide receiver in this class, yeah. And which he's going to go above both of them.
Which sort of flies in the face of the, he just carries that team theory. That's... He has some guys around him that make some plays, and Evans in particular for a quarterback. You could say that as good as the left tackle is, he runs around and makes he improvises better than anybody. But he has a 6'5 wide receiver who was the college version of Calvin Johnson.
And at times took full advantage by basically just throwing it up and say, go get it, buddy.
Yeah.
Go make this play. I see there's two corners and a safety. Go get it. You know, the Randy Moss effect. So I do think those guys helped make him. You look down a little bit later, guys who are sort of that late first, early second. You have guys like Derek Carr, yes, from that Carr family.
I like him.
Fresno
State. Don't love him, but I like him.
Again, not elite size, 6'2", mm-hmm. 210, 215-ish. Jimmy Garoppolo, a Fred Kirsch favorite, Eastern Illinois, very productive. Another guy, 6'2", 220, also has the competition level concerns coming from a lower level, not necessarily SEC-ready football like some of these quarterbacks are. And then Zach Mettenberger, who we mentioned earlier, considered sort of maybe a third-round prospect, who I agree with you, I love. I think he's going to end up actually being the best quarterback in this draft. The Patriots obviously have had some contact with him. And then A.J. McCarron, a bit of a lightning rod prospect because obviously, few players in the history of the game more successful in college in terms of winning. And the questions become, is that a product of him or is that a product of all of the other talent around him that Nick Saban accumulated? He seems a little defensive of that, certainly at the combine.
He was very, very defensive of that.
Even while sort of aligning himself with Tom Brady and the Patriots and winning in that style. A.J. McCarron is a NFL starter, franchise quarterback, or backup quarterback?
I think he'll end up being a starter, but I don't think he's a franchise quarterback.
The bottom half of the,
I
16
think,
to 32 somewhere.
I think he's a little bit better than the Alabama guys that have preceded him, the Greg McElroys of the world. I don't see elite skills. I don't see the arm strength. I see a lot of fades, a lot of deep floating passes. He has incredible touch on the deep ball. I will say he throws a really good deep ball. And he's, his winning is off the charts. He's won a ton of football games. I just don't see I don't think he's as good as Andy Dalton. I think Andy Dalton, watching him, I think there's some similarities there. I think they both did a ton of winning in college, and they were both not necessarily given credit for all the winning that their teams did. They were kind of considered, that bad word, the game manager types. I think McCarron can play. I don't think he's a star, and I don't think he's going to be a franchise guy. I don't think he's a difference maker. I don't particularly like him all that much.
We mentioned Mettenberger.
We haven't gotten your take on a lot of these guys.
I'll sprinkle it in here. Mettenberger's my guy. I fall in love with one guy, quarterback.
No, I know, but like some of the other guys, you think? I like the way you phrase that with McCarron. Franchise quarterback, starter, backup.
I actually trend toward backup with him. short-term starter, and then people realize pretty good backup. And I think that would be the trend with his career. Blake Bortles, I think will be a second-tier starter. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. Johnny Manziel scares the hell out of me, if I'm just going to sum him up succinctly. Scares the hell out of me in a lot of ways as a player and as a leader, as a franchise-type guy, face of the franchise. I think he'll be a lot of fun to watch. I'm not sure he'll ever be a quote-unquote winner and a guy that you kind of latch onto and say, take me to the promised land.
My fear with him is he ends up on a team like Oakland or Cleveland, and that's not the right spot for him. I think he could, you know, obviously the Patriots, but if he could get into a strong coach, you know, Chip Kelly, I think would be, you know, it doesn't have to be Bill Belichick. But if he could get in a strong program with veterans and, you know, some discipline, I think he could be highly successful. My fear with him is he's going to have to do everything for a bad team and it's not going to work.
Mettenberger, as we mentioned, the ACL. Another guy, Aaron Murray, Georgia, coming off an ACL as a tweener. And I would agree with you. I actually watched a lot of him over the years because, as you'll learn in later podcasts, my boy Arthur Lynch was playing with him at Georgia. 6 foot, 207, short, ACL. You know, okay athlete, obviously played a ton at Georgia, was, you know, 4-year starter type guy, captain, leader, all that. I just never felt like he was elite. Great.
Didn't do anything great. I have nothing to add to that. I share your same view.
Now as we get later in the draft, Taj Boyd, a guy we talked about on PFW in Progress this week, inconsistencies, has certainly physical talents, a John Rook favorite, we know from his radio show during the regular season. I just don't see him anyway as a Patriot. That lack of consistency just screams non-Patriot to me. Another guy they were tied to recently.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech's Logan
Thomas. Another guy I don't
like. And a lot of people believe at 6'6", 248, he's going to be a tight end in the National Football League. And a lot of people think the Patriots are considering him as a tight end.
It's possible.
Not a quarterback. And I would wholeheartedly agree with
he's
that.
Not a quarterback.
I don't think he's a quarterback. Options, though, late, and I think there are a few.
There's one guy that you and I really agree on.
Jeff Matthews?
Yeah.
Cornell?
Absolutely.
Again, not surprisingly, he's 6'4", 225 pounds, like our quarterbacks normally are that we enjoy. Big hands, 4-year starter. His mechanics are but I think you get that when you're at a lower level football. You don't necessarily have quarterback gurus monitoring your every move. He's got a strong arm, and I think he has the talent. The question is, I mean, kind of like Manziel, can he advance to that next level of football? For him, it's sort of a two-step jump out of Cornell where he's not even playing high-level
college.
It's
much bigger than Garoppolo. Yeah.
Right. So I love the physical. And he's a guy expected. Our friends at NFL Draft Scout think he's a seventh-round type pick. Love him as that type of developmental prospect. You know, to go the Brian Hoyer route where you're the third quarterback of the year. You might advance to second quarterback. You're Brady's backup. Who knows if he'll ever be an NFL starter. But to me, he oozes the physical.
Yeah, I like Matthews a lot, and I know another guy that we agree on, Connor Shaw.
First guy we agree on, that's a shorty.
From South Carolina.
A little shorter than the normal, yes.
Yeah, another guy who won a lot of football games, played a lot, I think he was a 3-year starter.
Yep.
Played a lot of games for Steve Spurrier.
Never throws picks.
And he's one of those guys, too, that it doesn't always look pretty, but he finds a way. You know, he'll run. You know, he's not... you know, necessarily like Michael Vick, you know, where he's flying around and making huge plays running, but all of a sudden you look up, he's got 60, 70 yards rushing in a game. He'll be able to throw the deep ball and find one in there. He's a guy who's, I just think, has the intangibles. I'm not sure he has the arm strength and all the physical that he's going to need, but I'll tell you, you talk to Spurrier about him and he can't understand it. Why he doesn't get more love.
And Spurrier, with that tremendous NFL career and, you know, to fall back on all that experience he had in the league. I'm just mocking him a little. Didn't work. He knows college.
So I guess we should just ignore all of Nick Saban's comments because he had such a tremendously successful NFL career.
No, but he's also produced some pretty good players in the National Football League. Whereas Steve Spurrier failed in the NFL, and he's failed to really produce his quarterbacks and receivers in the National Football League. And his time at Florida, he hasn't really done much.
For the particular position, I would agree.
So for him raving about
a
college quarterback, I think he knows everything.
A lot of Steve Spurrier players were dominant in the NFL. Quarterbacks,
but
I would agree with you.
For example, Carner Shaw, who's
a quarterback.
The reason I'm talking about it is because him raving about a quarterback is kind of irrelevant.
He just wanted to call you out. You know.
Did he not like, you know...
I mean, Nick Saban raves about a lot of guys, too.
Right, and some of them are pretty good.
Some of them are pretty bad.
I think you missed the point. Steve Spurrier knows college quarterbacks. He doesn't really know NFL quarterbacks.
Okay.
I don't know why you got a hair across your buttocks.
I just want to state it for the record. Nick Saban, sucked in the NFL. Steve Spurrier, sucked in the NFL.
Okay.
Same to me.
Okay.
Not to you. To me, same.
You're right, not to me, but we'll move on before you get all huffy.
I'm not getting persnickety, I'm just stating all of the
So I
facts.
Didn't rip Nick Saban, so that was
exactly.
my
error. No, you ripped Steve Spurrier.
Right.
And
because he is talking about his
quarterback. Looked past other guys.
Maybe later when I was talking about, say, if Nick Saban said, this linebacker's
what's
the best
now?
I've ever seen, I would say, well, Nick, you don't really know linebackers because you said that about
you won't say that.
Dante Hightower. Why wouldn't I?
Because Nick Saban.
I don't actually like Nick Saban. I don't really understand what's going on here. For some reason, Paul turned a podcast about quarterbacks into a Nick Saban argument that I don't even understand. You know, if you said this about Pat Hill, I would say you're right. I like Pat Hill, and I'm not going to rip Pat Hill. Nick Saban,
I'll shelve it.
I think is a terrible person.
I'll leave it for future podcasts.
So how long are we going here?
When you don't rip him.
I'm sorry, Bill. We weren't going long at all until Paul brought up a Nick Saban fight in the middle of it. I don't even know where it came from.
Rocket shot was a little odd. That's all.
Well, the next quarterback he develops that's a great one in the NFL will be the first. So his 6'4", 6'0" nothing Connor Shaw, who's good in college, yes, you know college quarterbacks. No doubt about that.
Okay.
But if
I just think that's unfair to just paint him in that light. There's a lot of guys that that's true of. And it's just Steve Spurrier who you're killing.
I like Spurrier. You had passionate love for Steve Spurrier.
I do.
I like Steve Spurrier. Rooted for him in the NFL and love him as a college coach.
Okay.
Unlike you, apparently,
like you
I can be objective and look
oh,
at the
really?
Facts and say,
really?
You know,
you
this
just,
is
you
what
just
it is.
You just told me if it was Pat Hill, I wouldn't say it because I like Pat Hill. You just said
well,
that.
Well, I wouldn't take a rocket shot. Like,
so maybe you're not as
you
objective as you think.
Like, you brought Nick Saban into
love
a,
guys
into
that tell
a,
me they're objective after they tell me I wouldn't rip Pat
well,
Hill.
Well, you're the
I
least
like
objective guy I know.
And I have no problem with that.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. We still have time. You can get another shot in at Spurrier. Vidal Anthony. He told me he was good, too.
You're going to go make out with Steve Spurrier after this
ball? Okay.
In front of your poster of Steve Spurrier? You got a visor you put on, a Gators visor that you got well primped?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never knew he was this love with Steve Spurrier, but it's good to know.
I'm just trying to state all the facts, not just the ones that are convenient for you.
I was just stating facts that were relevant. Had you even brought up Nick Saban during the A.J. McCarron discussion,
well,
I would
Greg
have found
McElroy.
Him relevant, but...
Another guy you told
no,
me
that wouldn't
understand.
Have been relevant because Greg McElroy's not a part of this podcast.
No, I'm just, but the other quarterbacks that Steve Spurrier didn't develop are part of this podcast.
Had you
because
brought
the
up
next
those
one he develops will be the first.
And it will
unlike
be.
Unlike all the ones that Nick Saban
it will
developed.
Be. Right.
Okay.
So had you brought that up during McCarron, it would have been relevant, but I don't
okay.
understand.
So I dropped the ball. I didn't realize you were going to take a rocket shot in the future about Spurrier.
I'm sorry,
so
Paul.
I didn't take a rocket shot
you are
when,
right.
you, when you talked about Saban.
I am sorry, Steve Spurrier, Gatto coaching. I bow down
I
to you.
I couldn't read your mind.
I
apologize.
I don't know why Connor Shaw is not the number one overall pick in this. Billy O'Brien missing
the boat.
I don't
think that he's going to
be a great 6 foot nothing.
I don't think
the,
he's going to be a great
pick.
NFL quarterback, Connor Shaw. I think that he is a winner, but I think he's much like A.J. McCarron in that he's sort of a second or third tier guy. Good college quarterback.
Okay. Finally.
Just to sort of wrap it all up.
Well, it went off the rails there for quite a while.
That's okay. We give the people a little something that we can't just have like, we agreed on Matthews, we agreed on Shaw, we agree on Bortles.
We certainly don't agree on Steve Spurrier.
We agree
on his ability to develop NFL talent.
There's so much agreement here. We got to give them a little something. That's what they're looking for.
Let's wrap this up. I want you to give me the number and the names.
Come down here for these things.
The number, the names, and the order of quarterbacks that will go in the first round.
I'm going to go with three.
Three?
I'm going to go with the three that everybody says. I'll go in order. Bortles, Manziel, Bridgewater.
And Bortles goes number one overall or does not?
Does not.
I agree. Bortles does not go number one overall. I do think he's the first quarterback taken. Not sold that there's going to be three in the first round. I think either Bridgewater or Manziel could be the slipper.
Yeah, I think they'll all be gone by the top 10.
Interesting.
All three of them.
Somebody will make some mistakes, but that's what we're here for. We critique the mistakes beforehand, and then we critique them later.
And
afterwards.
We might even fabricate an argument.
No, I don't think that was fabricated. You clearly have this lust for Steve Spurrier.
No, I don't.
No one likes a Cox coach like Paul Perillo. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart.
That
we'll be back next Monday with another Patriots.com prospect review where we preview all the eligible players for the 2014 NFL Draft. Peace out.
Our show should make Cox bigger.
thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.